Man, it is so wonderful being here with you guys, being with our church family. You know, 3 weeks ago, I had no clue that I was going to be here right now. And then the Air Force said, hey, you got to accomplish your annual tour at McCord Air Force Base before going to Japan. And I said, praise the Lord. And I was so excited because I got to come and be with you guys. And I just appreciate your prayers and sending us out and continue to interact with you. It's just been amazing to have your support as a church family. We truly do love you guys. And so it's an honor to be here. I just thank Pastor Steve for giving me the opportunity to share the Word of God. We're going to be in 2 Peter, so if you have your Bibles with you, I encourage you to open up because we're going to open up there and camp there and spend some time. And really, today is just going to be an introduction to 2 Peter 1, 3 through 11, because you could spend a lifetime meditating on these scriptures. I mean, Peter here, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, has given us some amazing promises that we can hold on to. But today I want to look at those just a little bit. But again, this last 6 months has been a journey. And so as our family, wanted to share with you some of our journey. You see here in this first picture on the left there, that is us as we just arrived there in Hawaii with everything that we own. You know, we had sold everything when we moved from here there, didn't own anything except for what was in those 17 bags. And, you know, my heroes in that picture, my wife, she's just been amazing throughout this whole time. But we moved there, and it was so cool just to just experience God's hand in it. Because 2 days before leaving to go to Hawaii, I had no clue what I was going to do. I didn't know where I was going to work. I didn't have a job. And 2 days before, I got 61-day tour with the 624th Regional Support Group. So you'll see in this next picture on the right there, that's praying at the Assumption of Command ceremony for the new commander of the 624th Regional Support Group. And what was happening there was they were going through some significant things. And this group of 700 folks didn't have a chaplain. And they had just experienced some suicides. They experienced some really unfortunate deaths. They experienced some headlines nationally that were not positive about that group. And so a new commander was coming in, and I came in like the same. He came in one day, and then the chaplain came in the next day. And he was totally supportive of the chaplain course. So what that did is just open up the door for the gospel. It was like, come on, chaplain, do it. And which was cool. Just had amazing opportunities for ministry during that time, really dealing with a lot of people grieving, dealing with people going through some pretty high-stress situations. So it's great timing. The Lord knew what was going on. This couple here got to do their wedding, do premarital counseling, really got the opportunity to lead them to the Lord during premarital counseling, which was so cool. We knew this family actually through Guam. We knew her parents, and then so it was cool to be able to do their wedding while we're there, did another wedding there. But I just saw throughout that time, God was just had us there for a reason. In the next pictures here, you'll see that we did run into a lot of our church family, which was so cool. Some of the people that have moved on from here to from ALFC to Hawaii were there, of course, BC and Rick Hall and David and Stephanie Ballant. Man, I tell you what, it's so awesome to have church family in places, and they just really took care of us, which was so cool. We'll actually be staying with them Tuesday night for 8 hours before we head off to Japan. So, so neat. And then, of course, the Sigmunds came out and the Heastands came out, and great times of just being together. And, of course, those trips were planned way before we had idea that we were going to Hawaii. So it's just the timing of those things was just amazing. And then you'll see in this next picture, I was coming up to the end. Again, 2 days before going to Hawaii, I had no clue what I was going to do. 2 days before ending my 61 days, I was like, Lord, okay, I'm about to be unemployed in Hawaii. I can't afford to live here. What's going to happen? And the president of Honolulu Ford went to New Hope. And he said, hey, come work with me. Come sell cars. Sell cars? Like, I need a mechanic to pump my tires full of air. I don't know anything about cars, you know? Like, car salesman. I was trying to wrap my head around that, and I was just like, Lord, I mean, I'll do it, you know? But, man, yeah, I'm going to have to learn a lot. And And I was praying. I just said, God, I'll scrub toilets. You know, just let me do. I don't know if I can be a car salesman. God bless car salesmen. And the next day, I was scrubbing toilets for New Hope. I got hired at New Hope. God totally answered the prayer. And I was scrubbing toilets, working facilities and operations for New Hope. And it's amazing because this guy right here, Conrad, awesome man of God, he had actually just had to go in for heart surgery. And so they needed somebody. And so they brought me on like right at that time. And it was just amazing to work operations with these guys. I learned so much from their. Unbelievable. They set up and tear down at a school, so they don't have their own church building. They set up and tear down for 7,000 people in a school each weekend. So it's crazy operations that take place. And while we were there, there was a big rainstorm that took place the day after Thanksgiving. And 15 minutes worth of rain and the roof collapsed at the school. Praise the Lord, nobody was in there. It was the day after Thanksgiving, so school wasn't meeting. If it would have happened 8 hours later, 800 people would have been instantly killed. God's hand was just watching over it. But it collapsed that. So where this was housing 1,200 people, we had to say, well, we got to find a place for 1,200 because there's 1,200 meeting here. There was 400 meeting on the front line. So we had to move into the gym. I mean, it's just amazing. God had us there at that time, and we just saw God's hand in each step of the way. Well, it was coming, and I was looking at how things were going. I'm looking at my budget. I'm saying, God, okay, I'm going to have to start thinking plan B here. I mean, what's going to happen? Because I still can't afford to live here, even though New Hope was blessing me. It's expensive to live in Hawaii. And 2 weeks before the end of that, this door opened up to go to Japan. And so we've just seen God's hand in that. And one of the things that the Lord spoke to me as we were preparing for this season, it says, I'm going to build your faith in this season. And that's kind of a scary thing. It's like, oh, great. That means I can't walk in my own strength. I've got to walk in God's strength. So there's going to be some things that are going to be difficult that I'm not going to be able to do in my own strength. So I was like, okay, God. And then we took Abram and Stella, Judah, our whole family. We were going to go climb Diamond Head. And so, of course, Judah and Stella are running up this trail, and Abram I'm carrying him because it's kind of steep back and forth, slippery cliffs type of trail, and I'm carrying him, and we're going to get there, but he's wrestling me the whole time saying, no, I want to go with brother and sister. I want to get up this trail. I can do it. I say, you're 1 year old. And so we're going. Finally, I'm like, all right, I'll put him down, but I've got to, kind of guard him from going off the side of the cliff. So I'm pushing him back in, and he's falling down, trying to climb. It's steep, falls, So we're doing this whole time. I pick him up. He's crying. I hold him for a little bit. Then he's wrestling him again. And by the time we got to the top, it was like bumps and bruises on me, bumps and bruises on him. It was rough. And God told me, hey, I want to take you places, but you've got to participate. You see, Abram wasn't participating with me. It was a struggle and a fight and say, hey, just trust me. But he wasn't participating. It's like God saying, you know what? There's going to be some things that maybe you don't want to do or some things that are going to be different, but you're going to have to trust in me and participate so we can do the things that I want you to do and I've called you to do. And that's what we're talking today out of 2 Peter 1, verse 3 through 11, being partakers of the divine nature. Okay, beginning 2013, saying, hey, I'm going to participate in Christ's likeness. I'm going to participate in what God's called me to. That's really what that word partaker is talking about. Let's read there in verse 3. It says, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who has called us by glory and virtue, by which you have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these, the great and precious promises, you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So we've been gifted, this is scripture saying, we've been gifted everything we need to succeed in being a partaker of the divine nature. Right? Verse 3, given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, that through these you may become a partaker. So what does that mean? Right? That word, some of you know the word koinonia. Koinonia is actually the Greek word that's being used here for partaker. You're in fellowship. You're in agreement with this. And really it's drawing this picture saying you can either walk in the divine nature or you can walk in human nature. Those are your choices. See, this is Paul writing. This is Peter writing. Paul wrote this similar biblical concept, but he used the words you can walk in the flesh or you can walk in the what? Spirit. Same biblical concept, but Peter's using different words. He said, you can walk in the divine, be a partaker of the divine nature, or you can be in the world or the human nature. It's your choice. And here's the cool thing. You've been given everything you need to succeed in being a partaker. So in other words, you don't need a certain background or be able to speak a certain language or be able to have this degree or that degree. Man, I applied for so many jobs and it's like, well, you need this, you need that. And, you know, it's so hard right now in our economy to get a job. And it's like, you need all these things before you're qualified to be in this position. And what this scripture is saying, look, my son, my daughter, I've given you everything you need to succeed and being a partaker. You can be in the position of Christ-likeness no matter what your background is, no matter where you come from, wherever you're at right now today, you can say, I'm going to be a partaker of the divine nature. You can succeed in that. It continues there in verse 5. It says, so what does this look like? What does it look like to be a partaker of the divine nature? It says, so for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge, self-control, to self-control, perseverance, to perseverance, godliness, to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. See, these are the things that as you begin to be a partaker of the divine nature and not walk in your human nature, you're going to develop these things, these character qualities, these heart attitudes. These are the things that are going to become a part of you that will help you succeed in this. You know, it can be discouraging at times when you see people and you see the deception, you see the lies, you see the unfaithfulness, you see, you know, just the irreconcilable relationships, I mean, moral failure and all these different things that take place. And it can get discouraging. Say, man, can anybody really succeed? I look at my own life and say, man, God, I fall so short of what you've called me to. God, can I really succeed and growing in Christ and being a partaker of the divine nature? It's important to see that he's not dealing here with a list of don'ts or a list of rules. He's dealing with heart issues. So it's not like, hey, stop having sex before marriage. Stop looking at pornography. Stop verbally abusing people. Stop, you know, it's not giving a list like that. Of course you're supposed to stop those things. Of course. But it's something deeper. God says, look, I want to do something in your heart because you're struggling with these things, but I've given you great and precious promises so you can be free from that stuff because that stuff is going to bring destruction in your life, but what I want to bring is wholeness in your life. So take a hold of these great and precious promises and walk in these things and you're going to experience growing in Christ, the very thing that you're created for. See, God says, I created you in my image. Remember, back to the beginning, Genesis, you were created in my image. Not only were you created in my image, but because of what Jesus Christ has done, now you can be a partaker of my image and be my representative in this world. You see, we have all these things that we experience and we can be overwhelmed by them, but like those promises we have, no temptation has overcome you except for that which is common to man. But when the temptation comes, what? God's going to give you a way out. Say, man, I'm stuck in my human nature. My human nature is strong, and I've lived in that for so long, and I'm so addicted to some of the things that are attached to my human nature. Can I really be free from that? Well, the promise says, yeah, God's going to give you a way out. So your goal is saying, God, change my heart and help me see, give me new eyes so that I can see the way out, and I can walk in that. Verse 8 continues and talks about, it says, not only is this important, not only is this like, hey, you have this option, you can walk along this path, being a partaker of the divine nature, or you can walk in this path, just continue walking your human nature. It's like, let me see, what do I want to do today? Here's the thing, you can't be on both paths at the same time. You've got to choose one path. It's impossible to be in this place and that place. So not only is it important to walk in this path, but it's imperative because there are some serious warnings if we don't walk in that path. In verse 8, it says, "For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins." You see, here's the warnings. Right? It's saying if you don't partake in the divine nature, you will develop infertility, unproductiveness, amnesia, impaired vision, blindness, and ultimately death. That's what it says, right? It's like the warning labels on a modern day medication, right? Isn't it? Doesn't seem like it. It's like, you want to get rid of your nose hair problem? Then just take this medication, but you might die. You know, I was like, well, I don't like that nose hair. So, you know, I mean, so you have these warnings that are here. But here's the thing about these warnings. This is not like, this is a possibility, one out of a million chance. No, this is saying this is what's going to happen. 100%, this is what's going to happen if you are not a partaker in the divine nature. Right? It says you're going to forget that you've been cleansed from sin. You're going to be barren. You're going to be unfruitful. You're going to be short-sighted. Right? Those things are some scary things. Amnesia is the scariest thing I've ever experienced in my life. I've experienced it twice, two different head injuries. And it was terrifying. I remember just being only concerned about where my house was and how I could get there. That's all I was worried about. I was so freaked out. And it was terrifying. And this is saying, look, you're going to forget. You're going to lose your way. And you're going to be at this place where you don't even know what life is about. And it's going to overwhelm you. Every place you turn, you're going to be lost. You're going to be confused. You're not going to be able to, it says you're going to be infertile. It's talking about spiritual principle. You're not going to be able to produce life. You're not going to experience life. You're going to be unproductive. You're not going to be able to experience purpose. You're going to just try to live every day and say, okay, I'm living today, but I don't know the purpose of my life. I don't know what this is all about. So these are the things that you're going to experience if you're not being a partaker in the divine nature. And ultimately, you'll be stuck in your sins. Really, it's that emptiness that is experienced without Christ. It's that emptiness, just that, man, what's this about? But you see, as you begin to be a partaker of the divine nature, all of a sudden you have purpose. All of a sudden you have eternity's values in mind. And you say, man, my life is bigger than just me. The world, the universe actually doesn't revolve around me. There's someone bigger that it revolves around, Jesus Christ. And I get to be a part of that. And when I'm a part of that, I get to experience eternity. I get to see the face of Jesus until the day I see him face to face in heaven and get to experience that in the fullness of joy. You see, human nature can simply be about being a Christian, but the divine nature is about growing in Christ. Right? In verse 8, it said, "For if these things are yours," but then it adds this very important two words, "and abound." If these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful, and on with the warning. So it's not only to say, man, well, I'm a Christian, I do Christian things. Really what it's saying is, are you growing in Christ? Are you growing in Christ? Can you see these things being developed in your life and producing? Because you can go to church, you can read your Bible, you can pray, you can listen to worship music while you're driving, you can do all of those things and be in a passive place of saying, oh, I'm just receiving, I'm receiving. God's saying, no, I want you to abound, I want you to grow, I want you to engage this and be actively involved in it. It's really a lot what Pastor Kim was talking about last week. You can grow. What can we do to grow? And so we can experience that abounding growth in Christ, right? The scripture says you will be changed from glory to glory. And so instead of just listening to a message you're saying or reading the Bible, you're saying, okay, how is this going to change my life today? How am I going to be different today, right now, because of what I'm learning from the scripture? And every time you approach scripture, you invite the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, change my life. How can I live differently? Because I know that no matter where I'm at in my relationship with you, I can always grow more because I've never arrived. And so today, this day, show me how I can grow in you. And it's a lifelong process, right? And it's a joyful process because you can always be closer to Christ. And the word says, those who draw unto me, I will draw unto them. And so it's a growing in that takes place. That's a daily thing. And so so we have that opportunity as we are partakers of the divine nature and really reject the human nature. 2 Peter continues in verse 10. It says, therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Really, what it's saying is, it says you can have assurance, right? Our human nature leads to stumbling, whereas our divine nature leads to walking with full assurance, full assurance. You know, there's something about having full assurance, right? We have that picture in Luke that talks about being on a solid foundation of Christ, you know, the two houses that are built. And I tell you what, those winds and the waves are going to come against that house. Man, I've been rocked by life circumstances, by stuff. You guys have been rocked by life circumstances and stuff. I see people constantly in my office, people being rocked by life stuff. It can be unsettling, unnerving, causing fear and worry and frustration and confusion, all those types of things. And God's saying here in Scripture, says, yeah, all that's going to be there, but you can have full assurance no matter what life brings your way. And that's a great and precious promise. Fanny Crosby wrote a hymn, many hymns, but one of the hymns she wrote was Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, right? One of my dad's favorite hymns. Talking about that we have this full assurance that Jesus is ours, that we have this relationship with the Lord that's a foretaste of what we're going to experience for eternity. That we get to have this relationship from this point on, and it's a growing relationship. That's a wonderful thing. You know, someone came to Fanny Crosby and said, hey, you know, she was blind. She was blind since birth, and she had a problem with her eyes when she was just born. A doctor put some wrong things in her eyes, and it caused her to go blind. She's blind the rest of her life. And someone came to her and said, hey, if you could go back and not be blind, would you do it? She said, no. I said, what? Why not? You know, what's that all about? He said, because the first face I'm going to see is the face of Jesus. It's like, wow, that's huge. But that's that full assurance. She says, no, God knew what was going to happen. He had a purpose for my life. And I've walked in that. I've participated in God's plan for my life and not struggled against that. And because I've participated, I've been able to write 8,000 hymns. She didn't say this, but I'm thinking, look. I mean, it wrote 8,000 hymns that worship Jesus that people use throughout the world to express their heart and their prayer to God. Sign me up. I want to be a participant in God's plan for my life. Right? I want to be a partaker of the divine nature. I'm there. God, I know life's going to throw some junk my way, but I want to participate with you. So help me not struggle, but help me participate. Because then I can face some things that others would get knocked out by, but you will help me walk with you to eternity till we celebrate face to face what you've been able to accomplish in this world. God wants to provide that for us as we look at 2013, because no matter where you're at, as you're coming into 2013, you have the opportunity to grow. You have the opportunity to grow today. And so I want to invite you to that. Maybe some of you here today and say, man, I've never really been a partaker. I've been maybe just a doer and kind of looked at that. But today I want to partake of the divine nature. I want to be identified not by who I am and by my desires and by what I think is right, but I want to be identified by what Christ has told me I need to do and how I need to live and how I need to walk. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to invite you to that today. Today we're going to be able to partake of communion. And what a great picture that has been given to us, the idea of taking on Christ, partaking in the divine nature, that we take in the death and the life of Jesus Christ. Today, you have that opportunity. You identify yourself. You choose that path of partaking in the divine nature. And then as a church family, we're going to partake of communion today together. And everyone, I encourage you, I myself today am asking the question as I come to the communion table saying, Lord Jesus, how do you want me to grow today? I invite you to ask that question, to prepare your heart. If there's any here today, you're saying, no, I'm doing this for the first time and I'm going to partake of the divine nature. I'm going to identify myself with Christ. And I know that from this day forward, I'm going to repent of my sins and walk anew afresh. I just invite you to raise your hand and I'm just going to pray with you. So if you're here today and that's you, just go ahead, raise your hand right now. I'm just going to pray with you. You're going to start a new day on a new path. Anybody here this morning? Awesome. Praise the Lord. Anybody else? Heavenly Father, I thank you for the full assurance that we can have in you and for the decision that's being made today, Lord. We know that the old has passed away and the new has come. You make us a new creation. For this one that's making that decision today, Lord, I pray that he would be able to look back to this day, 6th January, and say, that's when it all changed. That's when I allowed Christ to come into my life and put me on a new path to be able to partake in the plans that he has for my life and not my plans. Lord, I pray that you would surround him with men and women of God that will be an encouragement to his walk with you. Lord, for all of us today, as we prepare our hearts for communion, as our pastor comes and leads us in that, I invite you to speak to us. Transform us from glory to glory by your truth in our hearts and in our minds. Amen.